around it, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Last segment of the show, we'll talk some high school hoops from Friday night. Some big games, good performances by some teams. Look ahead to this week as the second tournament week coming up. You're today, looks like?
Yeah.
West Central over there. Yep. There's tons of tournaments starting some today, most Thursday. And then after that, man, we'll look up and it'll be tournament time, district tournament time, what, 3 weeks from Friday. So it's here. Basketball playoffs are nearly here. We'll talk about that. We're going to do two different segments of NFL playoffs. We'll start off the top with the non-Dallas Cowboy edition with, you know, everybody else. And then in the middle segment, talk about that embarrassment that was the Dallas Cowboys blown out by the Green Bay Packers. So that's what we got on the show today. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. Talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, you can stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. Radio, Penny News, Big Elk and Paragon TV. You can watch all the high school hoops right there. And then, of course, Skinny on Sports Podcast. If you miss the show entirely, you can check it out anywhere where podcasts drop. How are you today, Jared?
I'm good. Thawed out.
Really?
No. No, not really. Doing my best, though. Layered up.
It's cold.
It is a cold one, man. Yesterday was cold. I'm glad that happened yesterday. We really didn't have to go anywhere. And then today, though. But it could be worse. I was just watching, like, national weather. And there's a lot of, like east of us in Arkansas, they got all the, well, hell, in our part of the state, still getting some snow and stuff like that. So it could be worse. At least I'm looking outside the window, seeing some sunshine. But, nah, good weekend. How are you?
I'm good. Then we'll see a video of Buffalo.
Oh, yeah, you think it's cold here. Look at Buffalo. Look at Kansas City on Saturday night. Wow.
Yeah, get you some Buffalo.
It's still, so is it a recent, is it like a picture from today?
It was like last night.
Okay.
It was still, it wasn't just blizzard conditions anymore. And there's a bunch of people trying to shovel the stadium out so they could have that game at 3:30. I haven't seen an update. Have you? I mean, it looks like it's a go.
Game on. Game
yeah, 3:30.
On.
I mean, yeah. I know a lot of people are like, oh, it's so, the NFL is so soft. Listen, they literally couldn't have had that game. They couldn't get there.
And you couldn't see the game
if they had it. So there was nothing they could do.
It's about player safety, not just fan safety. I mean, that was a smart move. I'm okay with it. Now we get some Monday matinee football. I'm good with that, too.
And a lot of people are off work because of the Martin Luther King
Jr.
holiday. So right. It makes some sense. It makes total sense for them not to have that game yesterday because, quite frankly, they couldn't.
They're already having a Monday game anyways tonight. It's not going to alter a schedule. It's
they
fine.
Couldn't do it. They literally couldn't do it. All right, let's
or we could just stop putting Buffalo in the playoffs.
Could build a damn dome.
That's what I was thinking.
But even that though, like you're right. Even if they had a dome, people can't get there.
Asking people to drive out in that mess. Are you kidding me?
It was a mess.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the non-Dallas playoff so far. Thank goodness last night happened because up until last night it had just been a complete flop. Every game was just a total butt-kicking until last night. And what a scene in Detroit. Holy cow. It's exactly what you would have thought it might be for a city and a franchise that hasn't hosted a playoff game in 31 years. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it was. As man, that place was on fire. The Rams did a heck of a job standing up to everything. They really, I think, in a lot of ways, outplayed Detroit. But the difference in the game, to me, was three times the Rams had first downs inside the red zone, and three times they came away with field goals instead of touchdowns. And that's the difference in the entire game, is the red zone defense of Detroit bending and not breaking, allowing holding the Rams to field goal attempts, which they made, but at the same time, you know, not being able to punch at least one of those three in ends up being the demise of the LA Rams. And Detroit not only moves on, but now gets to host the winner of tonight's game in the divisional round.
The only worry, and I think we were both kind of feeling like the Rams were going to win that game, and I think mainly from my perspective was because Detroit hasn't been there in 30 years, and that's a franchise as a whole, and sometimes that lingers. I don't know, it's totally different players and everything, totally different personnel, front office, all that stuff, but there's a lot of pressure there to get that first postseason win in 30 years. And then, of course, the Rams have had that recent success. And then, you know, personnel-wise, they were playing really, really well. The Rams were going into that game. So kudos to Detroit for handling all that, and the fans for being as crazy as they were and loud and moving on. That's a big win for that franchise. Maybe that finally gets that monkey off their back and they can be perennial contenders or perennial challengers, at least for playoffs. Because I think it's good when Detroit's in the playoffs. It's fun. The Lions in the playoffs are fun, or one of those old-time NFL teams, and you know, very recognizable, and it's, you know, the NFL's better for it. So kudos to them. That was a great game. Yeah, the rest were duds, and after the bad taste of the Cowboys loss, I was like, man, I want to see give me a good game, NFL. Give me something. And I know we got two today, but I'm glad that one ended the weekend. That was pretty good.
Yeah, if you were an over better, you were probably pretty disappointed, considering there was 38 points scored in the first half. You think you're cruising to a win, and then three field goals is all the points that were able to be generated in that second half. The quarterback matchup, that was kind of the big deal. Stafford going back, Goff against the team that traded him. That was pretty well a stalemate to me. Both played fantastic. In a lot of ways, Goff 22 of 27 for 277, a touchdown, no picks, sacked three times, QBR 74.6. Stafford 25 of 36, 367 and two touchdowns, sacked twice, a QBR 75.4. So really, really similar performances. The one difference is I don't think Jared Goff got knocked out, and I do think Matt Stafford got knocked out. I can't believe he came back to play, but he did, and, you know, just you know, it's just a whisker or two away. I wonder if, you know, that one drive, I think the next to last, or they may not have ever got it back. They didn't get it. I wonder if, you know, Sean McVay wishes he'd have trotted Maher out there for, a 56-yarder, 57-yarder to try to take the lead. You know, at that point, they only had one timeout. They did have the two-minute warning with, like, 4:07 on the clock. Got it to third down. You know, they just couldn't get the ball back to Stafford.
Yeah.
And give him a chance to another chance at a game-winning field goal drive. So, good game. You know, there was good performances all over the field. You know, with Puka Nacua setting records again for a rookie, and not only in the regular season, now in the playoffs, 9 for 181 and a touchdown. Amon Ross St. Brown, it's been good for about 2 years now, and he was again 7 for 110. So, you know, both teams. It was a really good, really close playoff game, what you're wanting to see for every game that you watch.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that. And again, I hope we get that today with Pittsburgh and Buffalo. I wonder what the game times changing. Does that change anything? I don't know if it does. And then, of course, tonight's going to be incredibly interesting between Tampa Bay and Philly. For me, anyways. I really can't get a pulse on that one because Philly has been just not good the last, six, and then, but I still think they're better than Tampa. And does Baker, is he healed up? Can he navigate it and be a winner? We'll see. I'm interested in both these games today.
Yeah, it's not often that you see a playoff game in which the the quarterback from both sides doesn't practice till like Friday. And that's the way it was for Philly and Tampa with, you know, Hurts. I think he's been banged up all year. You just don't really know it. And then that finger that he got, that he had against the Giants, you know, they're talking about being able to grip the ball and throw it and all that kind of thing. All right, let's go back to Saturday. First game of the weekend. Started out like it was going to be a great game between Cleveland and Houston. It was a slow start for both sides offensively, and then all of a sudden, like the middle of the first quarter through halftime, it was just like an explosion. Big play. I mean, it was back and forth and back and forth. Joe Flacco was great in the first half. I think 16 of 20. He had around 200 yards passing. And then the third quarter happened. Back-to-back pick sixes, and Houston dominates the second half. They led 24-14 at halftime, outscore Cleveland 21-0 in the second half to pull away and win 45-14. I think a lot of people that had not seen the Houston Texans much, didn't pay a ton of attention to them throughout the season, this was kind of their coming out party, and you realize real quick one thing about the Houston Texans, and that is they have a guy that appears to be that franchise-type quarterback with C.J. Stroud, 16 of 21 for 274 and three touchdowns, no picks, QBR of 98.4. A quarterback rating was perfect at 157.2, and he becomes he and Jordan Love both, first playoff game for young, he's a rookie, Jordan Love in his second year, both guys perfect quarterback ratings without getting sacked. It's never happened in the NFL playoffs for a first game starter, and happened twice over one weekend. He was great. That defense, you can just see, and Houston is one of those teams. I think we saw two of them. I think we saw Houston and Green Bay, younger teams. Their stars are really young quarterbacks, young coaches that really looked like the arrow is pointed up for both of those teams, at least in the first weekend of the playoffs.
It was funny. I was following the game, the Houston game on my phone. I was at basketball, and then it was at half. We're leaving Clinton. I looked at the score. What was it 24-14? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, not bad. Okay, might get home for a second half. Be a good game. By the time that third quarter, by the time we got home, the score had changed dramatically. And I thought, whoa. So Houston, I was kind of apprehensive about because of their youth, because of C.J. Stroud, big stage, obviously probably the biggest game he's ever played in his young career, both college and now. And so I always kind of put weight in that, and he proved to be big time. He is the real deal. He is the next generation type quarterback that we're going to be talking about for a while. Houston came out pretty good with did you see that what they got? Basically, ultimately,
yes.
From after trading, pervert dude,
Deshaun Watson,
and trading him, and then everything they got back, they're coming out on a pretty good deal on this one.
Yeah, I've got that on my phone. I have phones on my desk.
The tweet was gold.
It's a laundry list of guys, plus still two picks. They still got a first and a third this year.
Yeah.
That they haven't even been able to make the picks yet. Stroud isn't one of those.
No, he's not.
Because Will Anderson, that was their pick, but they traded Will Anderson, John Mechie, the Harris, the linebacker that was the second pick six. There's a ton of those guys, tons of those. It's like eight players and two picks still left to be conveyed this year in the draft for Deshaun Watson. Oh yeah, it's Herschel Walker-esque.
It is, yeah, and for fans of karma and. You know, moral standards, you're rooting for Houston in that deal, 100%. I am. I loved it. I loved seeing them getting a return right there for that.
Yeah, there was a couple of pictures after in the scrum after the game where you could, like, Deshaun Watson was in the background of one or two that it said it all. Like, I mean, he clearly, you don't know what he's thinking, but at least the way it was framed at the time, it appeared like he was looking over at Stroud with just this jealous look on his face. And so that was a pretty good capturing of that moment. It's amazing how similar the stat lines were for Stroud and Love. Both 16 of 21, both three touchdowns, both a perfect passer rating. and they were separated by 2 yards. Stroud threw for 274 and Love threw for 272.
That's crazy.
That's wild how close that they really were as far as the way they played. But so Houston moves on to play Baltimore. Detroit will play the winner of tonight. And then the other game that's finished, non-Dallas Cowboy edition, is the Kansas City. Kansas City does what Kansas City does, right? They just kind of suffocated the life out of the Dolphins. You know, if it wasn't for what happened in Dallas yesterday, I think the big story coming out of the first couple of days of the playoffs would be what in the world is Miami going to do?
Yeah.
You know, with Tua, lack of toughness. It's amazing how much they kind of mirror each other with Dallas and with Miami, except for I think a lot of people have more faith in Mike McDaniel right now than they do Mike McCarthy. Maybe that's just because McDaniel's younger, or maybe it's because he's kind of the cool, hip guy, or maybe it's because he hasn't messed up in the playoffs enough just yet before he, you know, like a lot of people think McCarthy and as he has. But the Dolphins, man, they didn't even really look. I mean, think about this. That play that Patrick Mahomes broke his helmet.
Yeah.
That summed up the entire game to me. The quarterback of the Chiefs was more physical than the defense of the Dolphins. You know, that just, to me, summed it up. And, you know, in the cold weather, I know both of us, or neither one of us, thought that Miami had much of a chance because of the weather.
The weather.
And that just, but that feeds into how soft they are. Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of the truth.
Yeah, I think the weather was a big part of it for Miami. But they did look soft and, dare I say, slow at times. And yes, for those wondering, I did get Peacock and watch it. But that deal I talked about on Friday was not there.
Well, yeah, it was $5.99, everything I saw.
But I justified it like this. I stopped paying for Red Zone,
which
was the extra $10, and this is $6 a month. If I don't like it, I'm just going to cancel. But point is, I did watch it, and Kansas City just looked more, obviously, in control, more physical, like you said. And, you know, in years past, even last year, it was their offense that carried them. And what's-his-name said it so eloquently on the NFL Network. I won't repeat it. But it's their defense, man. I think this year they got a shot to go deep in the playoffs because of the defense. Now, am I giving them too much credit because Miami played the way they did?
That's the hard part to me to decide. Like, is this the Chiefs just making it into the playoffs, and now they're going to turn back into the Chiefs that we've seen? It's hard to say it's not, but at the same time, yeah, I'm not going to give just a ton of credit just because of, I mean, the Dolphins, what they did at the end of the season and how they just kind of fell apart. You know, they had a 3-game lead in the loss column with like 5 weeks left and still blew the division to Buffalo. The makeup of their team, we'll see. I mean, I think outside of Chiefs fans, everybody else around the country that enjoys the NFL, I think this matchup, if Kansas City finally has to go on the road for a playoff game in the Pat Mahomes era, going to Buffalo because of that classic they've played, and even in the regular season since that game, they played some really close ones, you know, down to the wire. And I think it's fascinating to see, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, well, Pat Mahomes is going to be able to handle a playoff road game. I mean, give me a break. That's not what I'm saying. But it's going to be an environment he's never been in, and especially if it's at Buffalo. With how crazy those people are. They're lighting each other on fire and there wasn't even a game.
It's one way to stay warm.
Yeah. And so that's where it's fascinating to me if the Bills can beat the Steelers, which I think most people figure they probably will. But it'll be another, like Dakota says, a resume builder for all-time greatness. You know, that it's not his fault. It's not Mahomes' fault that they haven't had a road playoff game yet. They've been that good. It just has, you know what I'm saying?
It is his fault.
That's true.
In a good way.
It is, yeah, in a good way. It is his fault that they haven't been on the road. But I think you have to, if you're ever going to be in that GOAT conversation alongside Brady and whoever else you want to throw in there, road playoff wins in high leverage situations are a quick way to get there. And that's just something that he hasn't had the chance to do yet. And I think we're going to see him have that chance with the Bills win today. And then that'll be the marquee game next week, right? Bills Chiefs.
Oh, 100%.
It almost doesn't even matter who wins today in the NFC. You know, Lions, Eagles, Lions, Bucks, whatever. Packers, 49ers. We get another awesome uniform matchup like we did with Dallas. But as far as the game goes, I don't know. Maybe everybody's sleeping on the Packers a little bit too much. Maybe all the conversation around what Dallas didn't do is a little bit unfair to that young Packers team for what they did. But it's not the way it's going to work today on shows just like this, because it's going to be a piling on of the Dallas Cowboys and what they did wrong. And we're about to do it, rehashing the NFL playoffs. And we've come to the point of the show where it's time to talk about the debacle in Dallas. You know, we were kind of joking around on Friday that maybe Jerry finally putting Jimmy into the Ring of Honor was the curse lifter. Jeremy on the text line, maybe it's the other way around and Jimmy just extended the hoax by another 25 years. Getting on there, or the hex. I mean, man, that game, you know, you're always pretty pessimistic as games go on, especially with what we've seen from Dallas. And I didn't want to be too premature in turning the channel and declaring the game over. But after you saw the first two offensive possessions, one for Green Bay going right down the field and scoring a touchdown, then Dallas gets around midfield. And these things, and I thought the broadcast crew with Kevin and Greg Olson, Kevin Burkhardt and Greg Olson, did a really good job highlighting in the early stages of that game, you know, how many times have we seen on that third down, first possession, yes, it's a hard catch, but how many times have we seen CD reach out, grab it, and then not only that, there was nobody around him. You know, that could go for big yards, if not with his ability in the open field, maybe even go score. And instead, it's a drop and a punt. And it seemed like those two were not on the same page early, and that got the Cowboys in a hole. And the truth of it is, you know, you saw all the stats, Green Bay 4-2 when they score first, Dallas 2-5 when they don't. And this team has been labeled, and correctly labeled, a front runner. And I thought Matt LaFleur, brilliant to take the ball when he won the toss. Most coaches would have just out of instinct, it would be defer, we'll take it in the second half. Well, that then gives the Cowboys the chance to have the ball first, go score, and get ahead. And the defense plays differently from ahead. But instead, LaFleur chooses the ball to go right down to score and get a stop, and then, you know, force some field position for Dak's first turnover. And it was 14-0 just before you even really sit out on the couch. And then from there, they just played smarter. You know, Dallas, in those first couple of moments of the game, penalties. It was the very first play. You get a sack, negate it by a penalty because you're holding down the field. You know, there was just time. It is typical Dallas Cowboy playoff football. Stupid penalties. Dak not even close to the Dak we see in the regular season. And, oh, yeah, the defense can't stop the run, couldn't. You know, it's like the same song, different verse with the Dallas Cowboys. And kudos to Green Bay, man. The youngest team in the league, they really kind of figured it out around week 9, week 10. And since then, and they have been one of the best teams in the league. You know, they started out 5-7, and now you look up, they're 11, and they started at 2-5, losing 5 of their first 7. And now you look up, and they've, what are they now, 11-7, counting that one? So that's ripping off 9 out of 11. And Jordan Love, once again, just continued his role. He was 18 touchdowns, 1 pick over the last, like, 9. So now that's, what, 21-1 over the last 10? It was just a thorough butt-kicking in every way, shape, or form by the Green Bay Packers over the Dallas Cowboys, and in just another in a long line of embarrassments in the playoffs for the Dallas Cowboys since they were able to vanquish the Steelers under the tutelage of Barry Switzer back in the 1995 season to win their last Super Bowl.
Yeah, I, after the game, just racking my brain, who to blame? You know, that's where you go, right? Where do you, who do you blame? Who's to blame for this? Another debacle in the playoffs. It's Jerry, right? It's the constant. You have to go, what's the constant here? It's Jerry Jones. It's constantly him and how this franchise is built year in and year out. Built to win? Sure. Built to win at a high level? Absolutely not. And that's where it starts. It's easy to go to Dak and his performance. It's easy to go to McCarthy. And they all deserve blame. But I'm just going back to Jerry Jones. He's the guy that has to make some changes within himself and take a look in the mirror, and we just know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, there's a lady that is friends with Kara's Uncle Danny, that she's a gigantic Green Bay Packers fan, and I'd sent her a text on Saturday, just kind of joking around. I'm like, hey, 26 hours and 45 minutes before you meet your demise. You know, ha-ha, just giggling around. And then after it was over, she was like, yeah, the Packers played great. That was an awesome performance. And I told her, yep, they did. They whipped them at every point. The problem for Dallas is major changes need to be made. But the biggest problem is what you just said. The major change is Jerry Jones dying.
Unfortunately.
That's just the truth.
It's the grim reality of it.
It really is. Because
my brother-in-law, who's a big Chargers fan, goes, dude, this is like watching my Chargers play. What's going on?
And guess what? That's not a compliment.
No, I know it's not. That's what he meant. And I asked, and he said, what's got to change? And I said, well, two guys I think need to move on, and a third just needs to croak. And I felt bad saying that. But he's not going to let go until that happens. But then the son will take over. Does his son become more of a modern GM?
You hope. If you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, you hope like hell that he is like Steinbrenner was when George died. Because that worked. That's one of the, you know, a lot of times it doesn't. That worked for the Yankees. When George passed away, is it Hank that took over?
Nah, I don't know.
And ran the team the way that you kind of need to run the team. Yeah, and here, I saw, of course, memes were flying everywhere.
Oh, yeah,
As they will. And that's the part about being a Cowboys fan is you know it's coming, and you know.
I'm gonna guess that was the most watched game this weekend.
Oh, there's no doubt
because it's the Cowboys,
and
people
it's
love to
and
Green
the Packers,
Bay has a good following too. But it's,
no
it's
doubt,
just because even if you're not a fan of either team, you love to hate the Cowboys, so people are gonna watch them lose. Sure,
that's right. And you know it's just kind of the vicious circle of Cowboys fans for the last 30 years, mm-hmm. and it's season starts. And to the question on the text line, were they really that good to start with this year anyway? They beat up on a bunch of bad teams. That's the first thing you get to, is beat up on some bad teams, which then leads to fans having delusional hope, which then leads to playoff embarrassment that then comes back around to preseason and the season starting the next year. And it does feel like that's the vicious circle that the Cowboys are caught in. And I was thinking about this.
Were the fans in Major League where, what's his name, Quaid?
Dennis.
Not Dennis.
Randy.
Randy Quaid. You know, he starts the season, this is our year, and then he just comes to the point of, and I just need to be more real, where they're having success. I need to be that when he goes, they'll blow it in the playoffs. Because they blow it in the playoffs.
Well, and that's the real issue, right, is – so going into the next season, if you take it as a fan, if you take the that type of look, the cynical type of look at it, there's no way to enjoy even if you beat a couple of good teams.
I know.
There's no way to enjoy it because the
'cause you know
inevitability
coming.
Of playoff demise is so real.
And honestly, in the back of my mind. Back in my mind all weekend long leading up to yesterday afternoon, what was that? Was here it comes. It's coming.
I didn't think it was
it's
this week.
It's coming. No, I kind of had it in the back of my mind, like just kind of like prepare yourself for this. It's coming.
I didn't think it was this week. But you're right. I mean.
And so as surprised as everybody wants to be, part of you's like, I'm not that surprised.
I don't think people are surprised.
I'm not that surprised.
I don't. I don't think people are surprised. And if they are, it's their own fault for buying into it.
We're not really paying attention, really, over the past 20-plus years.
So, I mean, but what happens? Is it mental? Is it just the culture is so soft that they have no idea what to do when they get punched in the face? Or, you know, that I know Cowherd is a big quarterback coach, like tandem guy, if mm-hmm. you listen to his show. Mm-hmm. And that's clearly, you know, here's the thing about, can you do worse than a Mike McCarthy, Dak Prescott combo? Absolutely you can do worse.
Oh, yeah.
You can do a lot worse than that.
Look at Carolina.
Well, I mean, I even think that there's teams in the playoffs. But that there's teams in the playoffs that have a worse combo than that. But when you think about that, you think about like winning. That all goes back to regular season. In the playoffs, there's just something about both of those guys that hasn't worked. Think about McCarthy's time at Green Bay and blowing some of those. I mean, I'm not talking about like NFC title games. You know, the Seattle one comes to mind. On the road in Seattle, they've got that thing whipped, and all of a sudden they don't. You know, the Giants were able to knock them off in Lambeau a couple of times en route to those upsets of New England in the playoff, you know, in the Super Bowl, I mean. And so, yes, do I think that changes have to be made? Changes have to be made. One of them that it doesn't look like it's going to happen and it's going to be absolutely crippling is Dak. With the way that the contract is structured, they're going to end up having to pay him $60 million to keep with an extension. And that just, it's not it. It's not it. It's not the right thing to do, even if the problem is they're so hamstrung that you almost have to. Because that money's going to count no matter what. Or you just bite the bullet for a year and then you move on from there. But I think it is blatantly obvious that Dak Prescott is a fine quarterback. But he's not a guy that's going to lead you to the promised land. Mike McCarthy is a fine coach. But without one of the top three or five best all-time quarterback. Hell, he had him his whole career and still only won one Super Bowl. Only got to one Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers and his just the magic that he had. But at the end of the day, you can make all the major changes you want to. And it probably will happen. But it's not going to matter because the major change that has to happen starts at the very top. And that starts with Jerry Jones. There's no reason to think that he would look in the mirror and realize that he is the problem after all these years. It's not going to happen. And so that means that Cowboy fans are literally stuck waiting for him to die. Which is a harsh, sad reality, but I think it is the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, how crazy is it? I saw this stat. I had it written down. Did you see the stat about Green Bay?
About winning in the playoffs?
They have more playoff wins at AT&T Stadium than Dallas does? Mm-hmm. That is just remarkable, right?
Again, doesn't shock me. Nothing about a bad stat in Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs shocked me at this point.
So they beat Dallas twice in a divisional round when Mason Crosby kicked like a 55-yarder to win it, obviously, yesterday. And then the other win they have in AT&T Stadium was a Super Bowl over the Steelers back in 2010.
Yeah.
Dallas has won two home playoff games in AT&T Stadium since its existence, 2009.
You know, Dak Prescott, and this was pointed out to me, it makes sense. They said, like you said, he's a good quarterback, a nice quarterback. But at the end of the day, he's a fourth-rounder from Mississippi State.
Which, I mean,
sometimes you can find those gems. Just look at San Francisco. But At other times, you just kind of call a spade of what it is.
Well, but let's – okay, I think that's a great point when you talk about – I mean, has Dak – has in a lot of ways, to me, Dak has probably outperformed what the expectations are for a fourth-round quarterback from Mississippi State.
Sure.
In a lot of ways. But not in the ultimate way.
Right. In his time at Mississippi State, he proved you overlooked me because he went to Mississippi State. He wasn't at an Alabama or a Texas or an Oklahoma or something. And he brought them up to a level they've never been before or since. But still sometimes I go back to that too when I think about Dak Prescott and his pro performances in games like this. Like, this is the Mississippi State guy from the fourth round. You know, I really wish we had someone else at times, but as Dallas fans, we're stuck with them, right, because of the contract situation.
It sure seems like it, and the problem is,
now does he have value for trade because of his season he just had? I mean, can someone?
I mean, what's crazy is he's going to be a top three MVP
vote getter,
and rightfully so, with the season he had in the regular season. But then you start comparing, you know, Lamar Jackson is in this exact same boat as far as really good. Well, then Lamar's won an MVP, about to win his second. But you're ultimately judged by what happens in January and hopefully if you get to February.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, I mean, do you think Chiefs fans want to trade for either one of those? Mahomes wasn't even nearly close to what he's been in the past, regular season-wise. But, oh, yeah, and then you look up playoff time. And his game elevates in just frigid, awful conditions, mind you. You know, not the greatest, you know, completion percentage, but he looked back like Patrick Mahomes that you're used to seeing, and maybe there's that flip that switch that the really great ones are able to flip. And unfortunately for Dak, his switch is on in the regular season, and it's like he flips it off. He goes the wrong way. And of course, the things that the Cowboys do that annoy everyone, and then when they lose like this, and rightfully so, they, you know, the here we go that came out of nowhere when he's doing the cadence, and now, you know, Jordan Love is, he's taking the last snap to knee the ball, and he kind of a little shot of here we go, you know, just stuff like that that puts the arrow is already pointed at Dallas. Mm-hmm. Because of the America's Team stuff from way back in the day and just the organization and Jerry and all that. You don't need to give extra, not even motivation, just extra little stupid stuff to get people fired up. And they constantly do. And it's just the culture that's built and the swag that Jerry wants to have. That then permeates throughout the entirety of the organization that leads to this. I mean, it's so amazing how much like Texas football, Dallas Cowboy football is. And obviously Sarkisian trying to change that culture, that country club mentality. Jerry's got that thing entrenched right now with that feel. And his arrogance. With Dak, his arrogance with Zeke, his arrogance with basically anybody that he drafts and overpaying those players in the second contract to stay when they haven't necessarily lived up to their performances on the field to garner that. But it's just the arrogance of I drafted him. I'm smarter than everybody else in the league, so I can overpay him because we're the Dallas Cowboys. And it gets them stuck. It gets them stuck financially. It gets the organization stuck in a spot where they have to change that culture, but it's unable to be changed until Jerry Jones isn't there. He's unwilling to change it. He's the one that created it. So what's next?
Man, what's next is just, unfortunately, I think a lot of the same. And as long as Jerry's there, then what's going to change is, I don't know. There's always the speculation of McCarthy getting fired. Is it too soon for him to be let go? And then we mentioned, because of who's available, and that's Belichick, does Dallas fans really want Belichick? I'm kind of on the side of no, because of his tenure at New England without Brady. Why would this be any better? Because better personnel, better players? Well, Dak, is that... I think what's next, there's nothing next. I think it's a lot of the same. When changes, I think, need to be made, but specific changes, again, that's up for debate. Is it at quarterback? Is it at coach? Is it at somewhere else? But it just doesn't feel like there's going to be a lot of changes made. I think they'll commit to, they'll stay with McCarthy and Dak because of the contract situation, unless someone makes an offer he can't refuse. What do you think will, if anything happens, will happen?
So it's three straight 12-5s. Two out of the last 3 years they've won the division. And it doesn't really even matter that that's what happened, right? Because of the failures in the playoffs. I think, I know we're talking about it for both sides of our mouth here because of the Jerry thing and him not, I mean, Jerry's going to be there. But there is personnel. The personnel is good enough to go 12-5 three straight years. Win the division twice out of three. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there is personnel there capable of winning, unlike what now we saw in the Parcells years, maybe Jerry kind of ceded some of that control personnel-wise to Parcells. I'm sure he didn't like it. Is Belichick in a point, if that happened, is Belichick to the point where he's even fed up with having to make those decisions, and so he wouldn't mind just going back and coaching? That makes sense? And allow, you know, and kind of take, kind of stepping back from that role and just being a coach. I think that, you know, that could be. Now, if Belichick wants to kind of grab some control, A, will Jerry let him have it? And B, no. As a Cowboy fan, the answer to that would be no, just because of what he hasn't built in New England from a personnel standpoint. But it almost, it's the Cowboy way for it to be Belichick. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
that's
the flashy hire. It's the,
yeah, that's what Jerry's done.
Make the headlines higher.
He finds a coach that's had success somewhere else. Hope it replicates in Dallas, and it won't.
I mean, he's obviously there's part of me that thinks, oh, well, if Belichick can't coach this team to playoff success, nobody can. But then the other part of me goes, well, it's just kicking the can down the road because this is what the Cowboys always do. Why not try something different? But is something different not going to work because Jerry won't have enough? I mean, surely to goodness, of all people in the league, if Belichick was willing to come to the Cowboys, surely to goodness, Jerry would have enough respect for what Belichick has done as a coach on the field that he wouldn't meddle. But we all know he will.
Right.
But it's even more than that. It's the fact that, you know the biggest problem with the entire organization right now? Jerry Jones believes Dak Prescott's better than he is. And Jerry Jones isn't going to come off of that belief. And that leads to the contract situation that they're in right now, to where you have yourself so hamstrung and so tied to Dak, you can't get away from him because of the cap hits and the money that it's going to cost you to get off of that, to get away from him.
Yeah.
And that's all Jerry believing. And that goes back to Jerry's arrogance of believing, look at me, I'm so much smarter than the rest of the league drafting this guy in the fourth round.
And that was why, and we all joked that putting Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor was going to lift the curse or whatever it is. I think in reality, seriously, we were thinking, well, maybe now Jimmy's finally saying, he's finally turning that corner to say, I was wrong. I was wrong to keep Jimmy out of the Ring of Honor for this long. And maybe now that'll change some personnel decisions, some contract decisions or whatever moving forward, coaching decisions. Maybe he'll relinquish some of power to others and get this on the right track. I don't think that's the thing, though. That's not happening.
No, I heard driving in, of course, Matt Meyer after us. He's a huge Cowboys fan. He's already, here's the deal about Matt. He has already kind of gotten to the cynical stage where he doesn't trust him. Matter of fact, I heard him pick Green Bay to win the game. I don't know if that was because he thought Green Bay would win the game or if it was trying to reverse jinx it or, you know, whatever it might be.
Or because of the history of playoffs. And
obviously that goes into that pick. But, Mike Vrabel is out there. Mm-hmm. You know, that would bring toughness. I mean, I think at the end of the day, that is the word for what Dallas needs, and that is toughness. Not fake toughness. Not Micah Parsons fake toughness going on podcast and you know, where was he? He did finally draw holding calls.
A couple of them, I think. Yeah.
Right on the same drive. But then after that, where did he play? You know, that's just the Cowboy way right now. It's a lot more talk and a lot less action. And that is Jerry Jones to a T, and the entire organization models behavior after their leader. I think it's going to be fascinating to see. I think Jerry making changes, will he, as far as changing by him, will he, if he does make changes, is it going to be same style, some sort of puppet coach that he can control? Or would it, if it is Belichick, is that a sign of, I'm wrong? Maybe he can be right, Dallas Cowboys. Just an absolute embarrassment. An absolute embarrassment to the NFL playoffs.
Can you be embarrassed when you expect it coming?
You always are, though. You always are just a little bit.
Again, it was the back of my mind, and I'm like, well, this is a possibility that it's going to happen, and here we go. And then, and you know what I kind of knew when I thought, okay, this is where it's not their day. The first drive, third down, defensive holding by Bland.
That was the first play.
I thought it was the third down.
It was the very first play. Dallas got a sack. And instead, Green Bay got...
I thought that was third down.
Now, third down is when he kind of ran around and threw it over the middle to Dobbs, right on the star.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, the very first play is a sack.
Yeah.
But a holding, the illegal contact for 5 yards.
Right.
Then after the first punt, Dallas has Green Bay inside the five or right about the five. And Sam Williams, who does something stupid every single game, runs into the... or gets close enough to the returner where they can coax the flag away. As he's trying to shove one of the Green Bay guys into the returner, which I believe is a penalty as well, if it does happen. He didn't quite get that penalty committed, but his momentum got him right into the face of the other guy. Did he touch him? Maybe just barely. But they're going to call that every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. You know, you get down there, it's a third down on the very first drive. Maybe this is what you're thinking of. It's third and what, five? And DeMarcus Lawrence jumps offside. Now it's third and two, and Green Bay down on the goal line. Yes.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, you're in a pretty good shape.
Yeah, that first drive basically summed up the entire game. That's when you kind of this is not gonna end well for Dallas.
Now there's
the very first drive.
There's a lot of different things you're starting to see schematically where the Cowboys did something different than they have all year, and there's tons of videos out there on Twitter pointing out like the difference in the way Dan Quinn kind of game plan for this one versus what he had done all year and how Matt LaFleur just killed him. And one thing that is true is you think about the games where the Cowboys really had trouble on defense. There's the constant, and that is the motion. The pre-snap motions from the other team just eviscerated the Cowboys all year long, and that happened again yesterday. Pre-snap motion, getting guys, you know, it doesn't take much in the NFL. A half a step one way makes a huge difference. Look at that third touchdown with Gilmore kind of setting down for just a half a step and then Love threw a perfect pass off his back foot into the end zone. Touchdown. That's when Jerry spun around in his chair. What do you think, Jerry, when they showed him in the suite right after that touchdown and he spun around in the chair, what do you think he was looking for?
Whiskey? I don't know. Companionship? What do you think? His phone to call
Belichick? I think he was turning around to see if Belichick was in the suite. Yeah, he'd go coach the second half. My favorite meme was, if this was the WWE, Vince would have had Belichick coming out of the locker room to start the third quarter to coach. Has Belichick already cut the sleeves off of a Dallas Cowboy hoodie?
No.
And then,
whose party reaches out to who, I wonder?
I don't know. I guess the firing of McCarthy would have to happen first. And if you're a Packers fan, how are you feeling right now?
Oh, obviously pretty good.
You're going to run into about the 30 to 40th straight year with a franchise quarterback with almost no lulls in between. You get Favre from like 93 to 2005 or 6. Then you get Rodgers from like 2006 all the way through 2022. And now it looks like you've got Jordan Love for another decade easy. The Packers quarterback situation is starting to mirror the Steelers coaching situation, whereas you've only got three of them, and they've all been really, really good ones. And that's the thing about the Packers, man. They're young. That team is the youngest in the NFL. And so every round that they can advance only helps, you know what I'm saying, for later on, for the next few years, if not as many as 10. But once again, we'll see this. Jordan Love being paid nothing. When it is time to pay him now, that's the difference, right? How can organizations do it when they start paying these quarterbacks big time money? And the list of the Dallas Cowboys free agents is long, and good players on there, So this team, in a weird way, it feels like this window kind of closed, and now they're going to have to open up another one, depending on what they decide to do, how much they decide to pay Dak. I think next year is a step back year for Dallas because of personnel and trying to reconfigure the team with some different guys that are going to have to go away. But it was just a thorough butt kicking that the Cowboys took yesterday. And Green Bay kept on pouring it on, as they should have, throughout the entirety of that afternoon. All right, where are you at tonight, Jared?
Over in Weatherford at Swazoo, it's the West Central Basketball Tournament. Canute Girls opened with Calumet at 4:30. Boys will end things at 8:15 against Thomas. Thomas A. Custer boys. Canute Girls the 1 seed. Canute the boys the 3 seed. The boys bracket looks pretty good. We got Calumet, who's rolling. Sentinel undefeated, 2 seed, and of course Canute and others. I mean, Thomas will be physical, so. That's where I'm at. That's a week-long tournament. Opening round games today and tomorrow, and then they'll pick it back up on Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Be good stuff. We'll talk a lot more high school hoops throughout the week with all these tournaments coming up. It's gonna be a good week. You mentioned Calumet, man. Arapahoe Butler played them really tough on Friday night.
Got some insight on that one.
Okay, so that's something that maybe not expected, but it was a close game throughout. We'll hit more high school hoops tomorrow. Jared's results, we'll talk about Friday. We'll have new rankings as well that we'll be able to kind of discuss. And then what, next Monday? Next Monday afternoon, rankings come out, and that's it.
So two more, right?
I think that's right.
So this week's big.
Yeah, it is.
Big.
Everyone have a great Monday. Stay warm out there. It's been the Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Channel.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right.